Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're on the book of Obadiah. It's the smallest book in the whole entire Old Testament. But we have at least two introductions for it. I've written about 11 pages here, and we'll do that first. It's no good to study the Bible unless you know what you're studying about, unless you know the background, the setting, when it happened, who's involved, who wrote the book, and what the book is all about. And so here's around 11 pages, written pretty tightly too, in regard to break down to you what the book is of Obadiah is all about. Do any of you know what it's about? No, nobody says they do. Do you? No, they said no. Okay, well, you will after you get done. I get done with you here. Okay? So let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this tape. Father, bless this tape. Let people receive it into their spirit, their spiritual ears, and let it stabilize their souls in these very last days, and for them to receive the message of it that we cannot hate our brothers and our sisters, that there's strong retribution from you for such things. People that hate their brothers and sisters are still walking in darkness, he said. In hatred of a brother or sister, a born-again Christian, is the same as murdering them. And Lord, let everybody be far more tolerant with baby Christians to be, and with everybody. Because once the soul is lost, it's not coming back if they were saved once before. And we're going to be responsible. And we need to receive that. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. If we sow hatred, we're going to reap hatred from you. And we'll stand before a very angry God on judgment or on the day we die also. So, Lord, let this sink into everyone's hearts, their spirits, their minds, their spiritual minds. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's begin.
Obadiah. The background regarding the relationship between Israel and Edom were marked by animosity.
Okay, now, Israel and Egypt. Israel and Edom, rather. Now, Edom is Esau. God says, Jacob or Israel have I loved, but Esau, Edom, I hate. So these are the twin brothers that they're born at the same time. But one of them hated the blessings of God, and the other one loved it so much that he actually did some real bad things to get it when he already had the promise of the blessings, the inheritance. Esau sold his soul, actually, for a bowl of pottage, a bowl of beans, so to speak, or lentils. So we need to read this over again. You're going a little too fast, and my purpose is to make people understand the Bible, not to read fast like you all have been doing for so many years, and you don't know what you're reading about. Okay, so let's do that again.
The background regarding the relationship between Israel and Edom were marked by animosity.
In other words, Jacob and Esau were marked by the animosity. And what else?
The background regarding the relationship between Israel and Edom were marked by animosity throughout the Old Testament period of time.
I mean, throughout the entire Old Testament, from Genesis, where this animosity began, all the way through the whole Old Testament, it's mentioned. And even to this day, we see tremendous animosity against with the Arabs and the Jews. Edom has been destroyed now for thousands of years because of what Esau did. And the book of Obadiah tells you what you and I, what Esau did to Judah and Israel. Okay, now go ahead.
The bitterness began when the twin brothers, Esau and Jacob, parted company in dispute. Genesis 27:32-33. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest.
All right, this is Esau. And he was deceived because Jacob was in there earlier and told him that he was Esau. And he gave him venison that he wanted to eat. And he asked the father, his father, to bless him, and he did. So there was nothing left for the real Esau. All right, then go ahead.
And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed.
All right, so the blessings were gone from Esau. And it was done by trickery, by Jacob lying. And so there was a hatred there immediately from Esau towards his brother, who eventually would be called Israel. All right, then what?
Esau's descendants eventually settled in the area called Edom, south of the Dead Sea, while Jacob's descendants continued in the line of the promise. They inhabited Canaan and grew into the people of Israel. Over the years, there were numerous conflicts between the Edomites and the Israelites that had developed. The events recorded in Numbers 20:14-21 are an example of their hostility. Numbers 20:14-21. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom, Thus saith thy brother Israel, Thou knowest all the travel that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields, or walk through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand, nor to the left, until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, We will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people, and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him.
Okay, so this kind of animosity has been going on all the way from Genesis throughout the whole Old Testament. Then what?
This bitter rivalry forms the background to Obadiah's prophecy. Over a period of some 20 years, 605 to 586 BC, the Babylonians invaded the land of Israel and made repeated raids or attacks on the sacred city of Jerusalem, which was finally devastated in 586 BC. The Edomites saw these incursions, the blasphemy, as an opportunity to quench their bitter thirst against Israel. So the Edomites joined up with the Babylonians against their distant relatives.
Their own brother joined up with the Babylonians against his brother. Then what?
And helped to desecrate Jerusalem and destroy the land of Israel. Psalm 137:7.
So his own brother helped destroy Jerusalem. And that's God's sacred city. And Esau did that. And he expects not to be for vengeance to be taken upon him by the Lord. They are totally, they've been extinguished. They are no more. That's what you get for hating your own brothers and sisters. You go to hell. You're destroyed and you go to hell. Then what? This is a lesson that we can learn from this book, Obadiah. Though it be only one chapter. Then what?
Psalm 137:7. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Lamentations 4:21-22. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that dwellest in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken, and shalt make thyself naked. The punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away into captivity. He will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will discover thy sins. And Ezekiel 25:12-14. Thus saith the Lord God, because that Edom hath dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and hath greatly offended and ravaged himself upon them, therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it.
Right, it's been done. That right there shows you that the Bible is true. There are no more Edomites. Then what?
And I will make it desolate from Teman.
And this is God again, the God of love, that says he's going to destroy them, slaughter them, butcher them, and put a final end to them, snuff them forevermore. That's your God of love that these false prophets say that exists, which does not exist at all. Then what?
And they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel.
I will lay my hand of vengeance against Edom, right?
Yes.
Against Esau and his descendants. I'll do it. Then what? I'll cut him off. I'll kill him. Destroy him. This is God that these false prophets today say is just totally a God of love. He loves those that love him and keep his commandments. He hates those, the wicked. He hates them all day long and every day. Then what?
I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury.
Wait a minute. God isn't supposed to get angry and furious, is he? Well, he says he does, so we have to... And Paul said, knowing. Knowing what? The terror of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
He says, I serve God. I do what he says. Because he's a terrorist. Mm-hmm. The number one terrorist. And it's just everywhere in the Bible, no matter where you look. These people that believe that he's just a God of love, they don't read the Bible. And what else?
And they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God.
They're going to know that I'm the one that's avenging, because they're not going to exist anymore. I'm going to butcher them. Then what?
Back into the commentary.
Okay, now read it.
Cursed is the participation of the Edomites in the destruction of Jerusalem.
Yeah, they helped destroy Jerusalem for God's sake. For the devil's sake, really. This is the sacred city of God. Then what else?
The date, the background of Jerusalem's destruction, places the date of Obadiah's prophecy shortly after 586 B.C., the year in which the sacred city fell to the Babylonians.
In other words, when the Lord says they fell, that means they were destroyed. Just like in the New Testament where he says the Lord's not coming until there be a great falling away, a great destruction of the real actual body of Christ. When you fall away, that means you have been destroyed. There's no falling away and any mercy on that. That's like trampling the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot and putting him out to an open shame. You fall away, that means you're destroyed. Okay, then what?
This message had to have been given during the period of Judah's exile, as Obadiah is warning Edom of God's intentions regarding his impending vengeance, and assures
Judah. And his impending doom. When it's you're doomed, that means you don't exist anymore in the land of the living. This is the real God talking, amen?
Amen.
Not the Santa Claus that they're trying to make him into. Then what else?
This message had to have been given during the period of Judah's exile, as Obadiah is warning Edom of God's intentions regarding his impending vengeance and assures Judah of the Lord's continued concern.
Yeah, the Lord loves Israel, but he hates Edomites, and he hates the sinner that refuses to listen to him and to listen to his people. An enemy of God's people is the enemy of God. That's just the way it is. Okay, then what else?
The writer or scribe is the prophet whom the denunciation comes, is known only as Obadiah, a servant, worshiper of Yahweh.
The meaning of Obadiah, I told you before, is that he's a servant or a worshiper of Yahweh. That's what the meaning of Obadiah is. A servant or worshiper of Yahweh. Isn't that what I had there?
Yes. Yes.
Then what?
There is nothing more available on Obadiah regarding information.
Yeah, there's no more information on him other than the book that he's written and how it coincides with the rest of the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
At least 10 men bear the name Obadiah in the Old Testament.
Right, and I'm saying this because to me, see somebody come up to you and tell you, well, Obadiah's over here and Obadiah's over there. There's at least 10 other men in the Bible called Obadiah. One of them was the custodian of the money for King Ahab. And that certainly wasn't the Obadiah the prophet. It was because it was a whole different time frame. Okay? And what else?
1 Kings 18:3 through 16.
I'm listing a bunch of places in the Bible where it talks about these other men named Obadiah. Okay, so that you know I know the Bible, and so that you can know it too, so that in the event somebody springs that on you, you have the answers. Amen?
Amen. Okay. 1 Kings 18:3-16. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets, and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water.
And so that's not the same Obadiah, though, right?
Right.
Whole different time frame. Okay, then what?
And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, art thou that, my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, whom, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah.
Okay, so that was another good Obadiah. Amen?
Yes.
But it's not the prophet Obadiah. All right, and then what?
Okay. And another man with the name of Obadiah is 1 Chronicles 3:21.
A whole another time frame.
1 Chronicles 3:21. And the sons of Hananiah, Pelatiah, and Josiah, the sons of Rephaiah, the sons of Arnan, the sons of Obadiah, the sons of Shechaniah. And also in another man named Obadiah, 1 Chronicles 7:3.
Another whole different time frame. Then what?
And the sons of Uzai, Izrahiah, and the sons of Izrahiah, Michael, and Obadiah, and Joel, Ishiah, five, all of them chief men. And another man named Obadiah in 1 Chronicles 8:38. And Azel had six sons, whose names are these, Azrikam, Bakiru, and Ishmael, and Sheariah, and Obadiah, and Hanan. All these were the sons of Azel. And another man with the name Obadiah in 1 Chronicles 9:16.
I didn't go through all of them. There's at least 10. All right, then what else?
Sir. 1 Chronicles 9:16. And Obadiah, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun, and Berechiah, the son of Asa, the son of Elkanah, that dwelt in the villages of the Netophathites. And another man with the name Obadiah in 1 Chronicles 12:9. Ezer the first, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third. Okay, and back into the commentary. Some Bible scholars have the authors of the prophecy with Obadiah identified as King Ahab's steward, 1 Kings 18:3 through 16.
Steward is the one that takes care of the church money or the money of the king. A steward of the goods of, like, a man, a businessman, a big multi-billionaire doesn't really do the banking. He has men that do that for him or women that do that for him, because that's what they do. They just don't want to take the time to do it, or they don't have the time to do it, and so they have somebody take care of the money for them. All right? I'm not that huge or anything, but I don't do any banking myself. Amen.
Amen.
I'm big in the eyes of the Lord, and probably my mother, if she was alive, but, you know, not to the general public. We just sheep among wolves, amen?
Amen.
Some people think all kinds of things about you. There's just no way you can help that, you know. Some people think you're broke. Some people think you're a billionaire. They just, everybody has their own opinions, you know, because this generation is so awfully smart, you know. I'm saying that, of course, facetiously. Okay, then what else?
Okay. Some Bible scholars have the author of the prophecy with Obadiah identified as King Ahab's steward in 1 Kings 8:3 through 16. But Ahab reigned in the northern kingdom from 874 through 853 B.C.,
Yeah, they're in different parts of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
This period of time does not match up or coincide with the dating of the prophecy of the prophet Obadiah. The purpose of the prophecy speaks to the people mourning over the ruin of their beloved city of Jerusalem and the deaths of family, friends, and relatives.
Read that again.
The purpose of the prophecy.
This is the purpose of the prophecy. That I had is, I didn't put it down as a header, but that should be the header. The purpose of this whole prophecy. The reason, in other words, God called Obadiah to say these things. Why? Why did he call him to say these things? All right, then what?
The purpose of the prophecy speaks to the people mourning.
It is a speaking to the people that are mourning. They're mourning. And Obadiah is trying to comfort them by telling that the Lord is going to restore them one of these days, and that he's going to take vengeance on Edom. All right?
Yeah.
That, you know, if God's telling me, these people put you in prison, with a bunch of lies. People that you had fed, clothed, and housed for years, like they did to me. There were several of them that were formerly in the church, and they took on the spirit of Satan. And some of them were put out, and they were wanted to take vengeance on me because I put them out, because a lot of them wanted to take drugs and do all the different things they wanted to do and be homosexuals, and I don't allow that in this church. And so you put them out, and they're angry. They want to take vengeance. So the first opportunity they get, they go to court on you and tell all sorts of lies so that the government, the secular government, the Antichrist government, puts you in prison. And they did that. But it's the same thing. It's like supposed to be your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. The love of the Lord waxed cold in them, and they just turned on the Lord by turning on the Lord's servant, or a servant of the Lord, or the whole church. A lot of you people reaped evil things because of what they said too, because they came in and took all your properties away, saying that they were mine and mine only. I didn't live in your houses, or I wasn't eating the food that you were eating. You were eating the food. Amen?
Amen.
They said that I ate everything in the church, and that I lived in all the houses, and there were hundreds of different living facilities. And it was like a mockery of justice or judgment. Mm-hmm. And there was mourning, you know, by the people. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, the Lord gave and the Lord took it away, but there's still, it really hurts you because makes you feel bad because you know these people, you know what God's going to do to them. He's going to do to them just like he did the Edomites, because they helped the government, the satanic world government, destroy, or thought that they were destroying the church forever, but they didn't. What they did is they put us under pressure, and it was like a good test to see if we were going to stand. A lot of people got shaken away. Well, the Lord didn't want them in heaven anyway, so that was good, you know, that came out. They didn't pass the test. They couldn't stand that persecution. They couldn't stand the false things that were being said about them, and they had no faith in that God would, there would be retribution from God in that regard, that he would do something to those people. He would punish them just as he does everyone that rises up against their brothers and sisters. You can't get by with that. Mm-hmm. You can't get by with murder. You can't get by with destroying the Lord's church. All you're going to do is toughen the real tough ones up. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to make them stronger, because they're going to stand. Amen?
Amen.
And so the same thing, and they did the same thing. These Edomites went and helped to put Judah away and helped the Babylonians carry them off and sold them off and took all their precious things. And they went, after the Babylonians took everything, they went right into Jerusalem and looted the different houses, anything that was left over. And they also captured some of the Jewish people that they hated and sold them into slavery or made them slaves and persecuted them very badly and killed some of them. So what is God going to do to somebody like that? He extinguished them. He put an end to them. He butchered them. And Judah's still around. Amen?
Amen.
Forever, because we're members of the line of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So the tribe of Judah is gone forever now. It's going on forever. Amen?
Amen.
But Esau, Edom, is over with. It's been dead now, over with, destroyed now for thousands of years. They're not even one of them. You can't even hear one peep out of them. So the Lord does take vengeance on those that do such things. You have to be careful to not hate your brother or sister for no reason whatsoever. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
The purpose of the prophecy.
This Obadiah is a wonderful book because there's a lot of teachings in there that you can apply to yourself. Amen?
Amen.
There's a reason for this book. That's the purpose of it, is to try to get you to not hate one another or to fight one another. You're to help. If Esau was a decent person, even though there was anger between the two of them, when they see somebody picking on their brother, I mean, you come to the defense, you go with them, amen?
Amen.
Rather than side in with the Edomites, the ones that are slaughtering and carrying everything away and destroying the hallowed city of, the sacred city of Jerusalem. I mean, what kind of a weasel is that, you know? And what kind of a weasel is that that would, in these last days, stand up against Christians in a courtroom and send them to prison and be happy and gloat and just love, you know, and rejoice over sending them away and think that they're so smart? They evidently don't know the Bible well enough to know that God's going to take vengeance on them. And then I pray, I mentioned this in this message here, I pray that God doesn't, charge them with this on the day of judgment. But I know that he will, you know, because he did it with the Edomites, amen?
Amen.
It's the same thing. Amen. Okay, then what?
The purpose of the prophecy speaks to the people mourning over the ruin of their beloved city of Jerusalem and the deaths of family, friends, and relatives.
Yeah, they killed all these people, the Edomites, and here they side in with them. How'd you like somebody like that, that your brother, twin brother, would do something like that to you? Okay, then what? Your brother in the Lord, supposedly. Okay, then what?
The inhabitants of Judah, who had not been carried off into captivity, were few in number and confined to a fragment of the territory they once had claimed as their country. They subsisted on a virtual rubbish heap that once had been their sacred city.
Why, they just ruined everything to where it's just a heap of rubbish. Okay, then what?
The Book of Lamentations rehearses the grief experienced by the people of Judah. It is in this setting that Obadiah brings God's message of assurance that God has neither forgotten his people nor overlooked the wickedness of the Edomites.
No, God is not going to overlook people that are hateful towards brothers and sisters. He's not going to overlook that. Then what?
God will intervene to redress the situation.
Yeah, he's going to put a new outfit, a jacket, on Edom. He's going to dress him in funeral clothes and box him up. Then what?
God will intervene to redress the situation, to punish Edom, and to restore his people. His message confronts Edom as a severe word of condemnation, but comforts the people of Judah with the promise of God's continued care, his victory, and their eventual restoration. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. It begins with a heading identifying the prophecy as, quote, the vision of Obadiah, end quote.
It identifies who the writer is. A lot of people ask, well, how come you put Tony Alamo, you know, or Alamo Ministry? To identify who it is that's prophesying to you. That's why you really have to be a nummy to not know that. Why did Matthew put his name on the book, amen? Or Mark, or Luke, and John, amen? Because they wrote it, that's why, amen?
Amen.
And you want to know, because I don't want somebody saying, I want people to know that this is, if this is false prophecy, I want you to know I'm a false prophet. If I'm a real prophet, I want you to know, okay?
Amen.
If I'm telling you the truth, I want you to know it. I want you to know I'm identifying that I'm, if you don't put your name on it, they say, what, are you too coward to put your name on it?
Yeah.
So there's no way that you can go with idiots like that. You know, they're idiots. Worse than idiots, they're evil. Why do they put their name on checks? Right?
Right.
Or on their house. Why do they put their name in the phone book? To identify yourself and where to get in contact with you, nummy. Okay, then what?
Obadiah begins with a heading identifying the prophecy as, quote, the vision of Obadiah, end quote, and attributing the pronouncement to the Lord God. Verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle.
Okay, then what?
The body of the book divides into two major sections. The first, verses 1 through 14, is addressed to Edom and announces her inevitable destruction or fall.
Yeah, in other words, if you fall away, that means you're destroyed. You're the inevitable destruction or falling away. So there's a great falling away, that means there's a great destruction to the house of God. It's like you've been building this beautiful house for the Lord to live in, And then all of a sudden a tornado comes along and just tears it to pieces. The devil just whips at people so hard, and that they haven't stayed into the words long enough and strong enough to be able to stand during the winds and the storms of persecution. And so the whole house, it looks like, temporarily is destroyed. But there is a great falling. It means a big falling away, or a destruction of the people that were once born of the Spirit, Christians. Okay, so read that part again so they can catch that, to get to put some emphasis on falling away or destruction.
Okay. The body of the book divides into two major sections. The first, verses 1 through 14, is addressed to Edom and announces her inevitable destruction or fall. From Edom's position of pride and false security, God will bring her down. Verses 2 through 4.
Right. Pride always goes before a fall. If you think, you know, if God tells you to read and you say it's not necessary, then that means you have such pride that you think that you're smarter than God. He tells you that you can't stand if you don't read and pray and study. So you say, well, we don't understand the Bible when we read it. Well, now you will, okay, because I'm explaining it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Obadiah verses 2 through 4. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised.
Talking to the Edomites, to Esau and his little flock. Then what else?
The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Back into the commentary. The land and the people will be pillaged and plundered, the destruction complete and final. Verses 5 through 9.
No, let's let them read that. They can read it for themselves, because Okay. Tomorrow I believe I'll be getting into the verses. Okay?
Okay.
And what?
The land and the people will be pillaged and plundered, the destruction complete and final. Why? Because of the violence Edom undertook against his brother Jacob.
The violence, amen. He took against his brother, his twin brother. So God, you know, just because you come from the same womb doesn't mean that, or the same family, doesn't mean that God loves. He might love one. In many cases he does. He loves one and hates the other. Amen?
Amen.
It all depends on how much a value you put on going to heaven and staying out of hell. Esau didn't care anything about it. He's very careless. He doesn't care where he's going. Didn't care about the promises of the Lord, so the Lord hates him. And Jacob would do anything, even lie and cheat and steal to get the blessing of the Lord. That shows him that he has a zeal. That shows God that he has a zeal. Not for the liar, because God made him pay for his lies and his deceptive ways. But it showed him that he certainly wants to be blessed by the Lord, and the other one didn't care at all until it was too late. Then what?
The violence Edom undertook against his brother Jacob. Obadiah verse 10.
Okay, you can read that, verse 10.
For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever.
And that has happened. Amen?
Amen.
There's no more Edomites. There's not even one of them left. So it shows that God's prophecy came to pass. Amen?
Amen.
Just like hundreds of them are coming to pass today. Then what?
Because Edom rejoiced over the suffering of Israel, and joined with her attackers to rob and rape Jerusalem in the day of her calamity. Verses 11 through 13.
Yeah, wasn't this something, you know, when they took me to court, and then all these weasels that were formerly Christians, and they were good Christians too at one time. I mean, Bill Levy was extremely zealous, you know, and some of the other ones were. And to see them standing up there telling lies, just out and out lies, that they worked in the office, and that they knew that I had kept two sets of books. I don't work in the office, and everyone that works in the office knows that I don't, and everyone knows that I've never told them to keep two sets of books. I would never do that. The people would think that I wasn't a Christian then, for sure. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you people work in the office, you know that I don't do anything like that. I never have. Never
Amen.
Will. Why would I want my own people to think I'm a phony? Amen?
Amen.
But they went in, and Lou Claude and some of them, and they said they worked in the office. They didn't. And then they said all these dirty lies, you know. And that's what it's just like violence against me. And all I thought I ever did was good for them,
Amen.
You know. All right, then what?
The land and the people will be pillaged and plundered, the destruction complete and final. Why? Because of the violence Edom undertook against his brother Jacob, because Edom rejoiced over the suffering of Israel, and joined with her attackers to rob and rape Jerusalem in the day of her calamity, verses 11 through 13, and because the Edomites prevented the escape of the people of Judah, and handed them over to the invaders, verse 14.
Yeah, see, that's really bad, because it was calamitous for me for Susie to die. And then for them to raid the ridge and to do all those different things. And then to bring up false charges that I was going to kidnap a judge. I won that case.
Amen.
And I won every other case. But then, you know, they all heaped together. They pulled people out of prisons and everything to lie about me. And during the time of calamity, one court case after the other. And then here they come in to help, to aid the Antichrist against the very person that won their soul to the Lord. And took care of them and their children for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. So you can gauge a person. Just read the Bible here of what God's judgment is on such things as that. He snuffs them in forever, and their souls are in hell. All right, then what?
The second major section of the prophecy contemplates the day of the Lord.
Well, and another thing, too, is a lot of them are dead. I'm still alive. Amen?
Amen.
Alive and kicking, I might add, you know? And I won a lot of souls while I was in prison.
Amen.
They know I'm not a phony. You know, I've treated everybody fair and square.
Amen.
And better than their own parents took care of, they said, a lot of them said. Then what else?
The second major section of the prophecy contemplates the day of the Lord, verses 15 through 21. This day will be a time of retribution, of reaping what they had sown. For Edom, this is a pronouncement of doom, verses 15 and 16.
Doom means it's over. Verses what?
15 and 16.
Okay, you may read those.
Obadiah 15 and 16. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been.
Yeah, like they never existed. All right? On the face of this earth, because to be in hell, you can't get rid of your spirit. It's going to go someplace. You might want to just lay down and die, but that isn't the end. That isn't it, okay? You can't just lay down and die and... because you're going to wake up somewhere,
Amen.
Either in heaven or in hell. Okay, so don't ever think about doing suicide. That's not a good idea. Okay? There are other options. Amen?
Amen.
Like serving the Lord. No matter what you're going through here, it's nothing. Not even one fraction as bad as hell.
Amen.
So, you know, hang in there, Sloopy. Amen. Just tough it out, all right? Endure hardness like a good soldier. Continue Amen. To the end. All those that continue to the end shall be saved.
Amen.
All those that don't continue to the end, they shall not be saved. Okay, then what else?
For Edom, this is a pronouncement of doom, but for Judah, a proclamation of deliverance, verses 17 through 20.
All right, Esau gets doomed, and Jacob, or Israel, is going to be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Then what? What was that in the verses?
Verses 17 through 20.
No, we'll let them read that themselves. Yeah, they have to do something too. Okay, what else?
Edom will be judged severely, but the people of God will experience blessing and glorious restoration to their land. Mount Zion will rule the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will belong to the Lord. Verse 21.
Right, now Jerusalem, Mount Zion, will rule over all of the mountains of Edom, all the different cities and towns and nations of Edom, all around about Jerusalem. Then what? So read that again.
Okay.
Now start it. Now Edom. Okay. Now
Mount Zion.
Yeah, Mount Zion or Mount Israel.
Mount Zion will rule the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will belong to the Lord. Verse 21. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's.
Now there won't be any hatred in the kingdom of heaven, hatred against brother and sister in the kingdom of heaven. You can't do that. You have to just bite your tongue. It's better to bite your tongue than to chew on it for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Bite on it a little bit. And then what else?
Heading, how do we apply the lesson of this book to our own lives? Obadiah forcefully addresses the matter of relationships.
Yeah, we got to get along with each other, right?
Amen.
Don't try to take out vengeance on me, because if I'm doing something wrong, let the Lord have vengeance on me. Amen?
Amen.
Pray about me. Ask the Lord to destroy me if you think I'm wrong. But you might get it whipped on you, because appearances are deceiving. Everything isn't the way it looks. Okay? Sometimes it looks really bad, and it's actually really good.
Amen.
So be careful. You're not a judge. You're not to judge with your own brain or your own ideas. You're supposed to judge things by the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And no other way. Then what?
How easy it is for those we know best to become the objects of our most bitter resentment. Logically, Edom should have sided with Judah against Babylonia, but years of hatred caused emotions to override godliness, God's good sense. Fractured relationships came from one who despised the promise of the Lord, and Jacob loving it.
You see, Jacob loved the promise of the Lord. The other one despised the promise of the Lord. What good is this promise to me? Give me some beans, I'm hungry, I'm starving to death. Give me a bowl of pottage. He despised it. Then what?
Light and darkness don't mix. Jealousy and pride, all ungodliness, prevents us from seeing the error of our own ways. Pride is the barrier. It blocks the way to reconciliation
with God. If you've got pride against God, how are you going to reconcile with Him? If you're going to say, well, you chose the wrong guy or the wrong woman. I don't like that you got this person over here. Well, then you've got pride against the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Say, Lord, vengeance belongs to you. If this person is wrong, well, show them in some way. Pray for your brothers and sisters. We're even supposed to pray for our enemies. Amen?
Amen.
That they get saved, that they see the light. Amen?
Amen.
So how much more your brother and sister? Okay, then what else?
The book of Obadiah calls us to confront the incredible cost of hating our brothers and sisters in Christ.
A horrible cost. You're cut off forever and sent to hell. Nobody's worth that. Amen?
Amen.
Just leave them be. Okay? I don't even hate those people that testified against me. I'm not going to get into the same bag that they are with them. Amen?
Amen.
Let them be the ones that hate. Let them be the ones that are cut off. I'm going to make it into heaven. Okay?
Amen.
I'm not going to let hatred stop me from getting into the kingdom of God. And Sue, you know, she couldn't stand it any, you know. She said, I just can't take that anymore. Well, I said, you have to, and we got to continue on. I said, let me do the talking anymore. You know, I'll take the heat. Oh, you're too rough, too tough. Well, that's the way I am. I have to take their stuff, so they got to take mine now, okay? The Lord says, just be yourself, all right? Well, that's the way I am. Okay? This is me, the real me, okay? Then what else? Now, there's no phoniness here. Okay, then what?
The book of Obadiah calls us to confront the incredible cost of hating our brothers and sisters in Christ, and what the cost will be to be uncaring regarding the day of judgment, and how it will be on the day God lets his eternal vengeance be poured out all over you, or that he welcomes you into the kingdom of heaven as a good and faithful servant.
Yeah, because one of these days, whether you want to or not, you're going to be standing face to face with God. And whatever you did is whatever you did. Amen?
Amen.
And it's not going to change just because you hold a good thought. This isn't the Christian Science Church where you just hold a good thought. One of the people thought they didn't die, but they did. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? So what good did that thought do him? Amen?
Amen.
It's not a mind over matter situation. You have to make up your mind to serve the Lord and then really do it according to his word. Okay, then what?
Pride comes, then destruction. Pride will, and hatred of God should, vanish on the day of judgment.
It will when you're standing before God. All your hatred will vanish immediately. Your knees are going to be knocking if you're not right with the Lord. And your pride will go. Because you'll see him looming through the whole universe, and then you'll see yourself as a little peanut. Part of a peanut, a partial peanut. And then what?
Pride comes, then destruction. Pride will, and hatred of God should, vanish on the day of judgment, when we must, stand face to face with an angry God, and stupidly attempt to justify our arrogance against his word. The book calls us to repent of our hatred and persecution of our brothers and sisters. We must hate Satan so much that we obey everything the Lord tells us to obey.
Yeah, that's showing true hatred against Satan. It shows true love for the Lord when you hate everything Satan does. If you don't hate Satan, you don't love the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so don't let anybody tell you you're not supposed to hate. You are to hate the devil, amen?
Amen.
And love the Lord. Sometimes the Lord, people's Lord is the devil. That's most of the people in this world. Then what?
If we do otherwise, we are filled with pride, the spirit of Satan. Many false brothers and sisters falsely testified against me in court, causing me to receive a sentence of 6 years. They had been put out of the church because they had shown themselves to not be of the Lord. Their satanic pride was hurt, so they destroyed themselves.
Right, but you're attacking me, you're destroying yourself. When you're attacking any child of the Lord, you're destroying yourself. You're not to attack your own, man. We're the minority here in this world, amen? We got to stick together.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, fight the devil. Not your brother and sister. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Their satanic pride was hurt, so they destroyed themselves. I pray that this will not be laid to their charge. We must pray for our enemies, that they repent. Why? Because God commands us to do it. Matthew 5:21-26.
That's all the reason you need. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, read that. Matthew
5:21-26. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill...
Well, the actual word is thou shalt not murder, okay? Because the Lord never condemns anybody if you force killing beef and animals to eat, amen?
Amen.
And if you accidentally kill somebody, I mean, there's forgiveness for that. And if somebody's attacking your wife and children and you scuffle with somebody and they hit their head or something and they died, that's not a murder. Murder is planning to kill somebody like the government does. They plan for years to attack some country and bomb men, women, and children and destroy the innocent people. That's murder. Okay, then what?
And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.
Whosoever will murder is the way it is, should be. Okay, then what?
But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rekha, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and they...
Saying thou fool means that you're saying they don't believe in God. And you don't know if he does or not. Amen?
Amen.
Unless they're just up there. And they may have hatred towards you and not God. But they don't know the scriptures well enough to know that if they're hating a person of the Lord, they're hating God. Amen?
Amen.
So they think they don't hate God, but they do. Then what?
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing.
Right, that's the same as, you know, if you're out distributing literature and the police officer comes up to you and tells you, you can't do that here. And you have to go, so you just say, yes, sir. But could you take one of these because it's for your soul? If they say, look, I told you not to do it, say, yes, sir, and just go, okay? Because of why? Because the Lord said so. Amen?
Amen.
And then go someplace else. The world is big. There's lots of places to witness. Amen? That just happens to be a hot spot, so get out of there, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, what else?
Back to the commentary. The prevailing theme of Obadiah is well stated by Paul in Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap.
Yeah, Obadiah said about the same thing. And then what?
Or in the words of Obadiah himself, quote, as you have done, it shall be done to you. Verse 15.
Read it.
For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head.
Yeah, you do good, it'll return on your own head. And you do evil, and it's going to come right back at you. Why? Because God said so, and it happens. Amen?
Amen.
It really happens. Then what?
Retribution is a reality. God is just, and he will punish injustices perpetrated against other people, both individuals and nations. The Lord takes very seriously the covenant promises he makes. In Genesis 12:1-3, he has promised to bless those who bless his people and curse those who curse his people.
Just leave it. It's insane what it is already. And then what else?
The Lord really closely identifies himself with his people, that to curse his people is the same as cursing him. To reject them is to reject him. Edom's fate foreshadows the fate of all who abuse the people of God. The Lord is determined to keep faith with his people back then, even when his people were faithless and disobedient. And he will keep faith in spite of appearances. The desecration of Jerusalem and the people of Judah sent a message to the world of Obadiah's day, that the God of Israel had been defeated by the gods of Babylon, Edom, and the other oppressing nations.
See, it looked like Babylon just destroyed God and his people. But as I said, seeing something is very deceptive because no one can overpower God. Amen.
Amen.
Just read that last sentence there, that little.
Okay. And he will keep faith in spite of appearances.
He wants his people to have faith. And so you might think that God is failing you because he's not delivering you right now and he's letting everybody take all the stuff that you got and that, but this is just a test on you. So it appears that you're losing and that you're over with, but don't ever believe that. If you're a child of the Lord, that is not true. All right? Just don't weaken in a time like that. Then what?
The desecration of Jerusalem and the people of Judah sent a message to the world of Obadiah's day, that the God of Israel had been defeated by the gods of Babylon, Edom, and the other oppressing nations.
But God is never defeated, amen?
Amen.
It just looked that way. It just appeared to be that way. It looked like I was finished, too. I had people call Sharon will tell you that they called and says he'll never see the light of day again.
Yes.
Well, I've seen many days of light of day. Amen.
Amen.
Don't believe the these people that are not prophets. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That Wanda Alexander said that. For one, and many others said, you're going to be in here for the rest of your life. No, well, if I am, praise the Lord, you know, that's fine with me. Then what else?
But this was a false message, because appearances can be deceiving. In his sovereignty, God uses circumstances to accomplish his purposes.
Right, he wants to humble his people, and then if they humble themselves, then he wants to bless them. Amen?
Amen.
He wants to punish them for sure if they're doing wrong. To humble them. And then he'll raise them back up again if they repent. That's what he did. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
In his sovereignty, God uses circumstances to accomplish his purposes, to purify and protect his people.
He wanted to purify them. He can't just let them go on sinning. He's got to punish them. To purify them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
As Lord of all the earth, he had already masterminded Edom's doom, announcing victory in the face of smoldering defeat, and he was always controlling the courses of the future in order to accomplish his plan. The Lord who did all that for Israel is the same Lord who still works for his people today.
Yeah, if you're one of his people, don't worry about it. He's watching the whole scene. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to take care of you, one way or the other, you know. So make sure you don't sin. Just keep plodding along. Amen?
Amen?
Live one day at a time. And don't condemn yourself. The Lord will take care of that if you need to be condemned. Amen?
Amen?
Don't let the devil talk to you. You're to listen to the Lord, not the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Well, this is Tony Alamo, and that was part one, or tape one, the introduction to the book of Obadiah, and there's still some more introduction that I'll be doing tomorrow, and maybe we'll be able to get into some of the scriptures. We'll know then. Till then, God bless you real good, and praise the Lord. Amen.